Good morning. And our old scripture reading is from Exodus, the 12th chapter, 11 through the 21st verse. And thus shall we eat it, with your loins girded, your shoes on your feet, and your staff in your hand. And ye shall eat it in haste. It is the Lord's Passover. For I will pass through the land of Egypt this night, and will smite all the firstborn in the land of Egypt, both men and beasts. And against all the gods of Egypt I will execute judgment. I am the Lord. And the blood shall be to you for a token upon the houses where ye are. And when I see the blood, I will pass over you, and the plague shall not be upon you to destroy you when I smite the land of Egypt. And this day shall be unto you for a memorial, and ye shall keep it a feast to the Lord throughout your generations. Ye shall keep it a feast by an ordinance forever. 7 days shall ye eat unleavened bread. Even the first day ye shall put away leaven out of your houses. For whosoever eateth leavened bread from the first day until the seventh day, that soul shall be cut off from Israel. And in the first day there shall be an holy convocation, and in the seventh day there shall be a holy convocation to you. No manner of work shall be done in them, save that which every man must eat, that only may be done of you. And ye shall observe the feast of unleavened bread, for in this the selfsame day have I brought your armies out of the land of Egypt. Therefore shall ye observe this day in your generations by an ordinance forever. In the first month, on the 14th day of the month at even, ye shall eat unleavened bread until the 1 and the 20th day of the month at even. 7 days shall there be no leaven found in your houses, for whosoever eateth that which is leavened, even that soul shall be cut off from the congregation of Israel, whether he be a stranger or born in the land. Ye shall eat nothing leavened in all your habitations, shall ye eat unleavened bread. Then Moses called for all the elders of Israel, and said unto them, draw out and take you a lamb according to your families, and kill the Passover. The New Testament scripture reading is from Mark, the 14th chapter, 17 through the 26th verse. And in the evening he cometh with the 12. And as they sat and did eat, Jesus said, verily I say unto you, one of you which eateth with me shall betray me. And they began to be sorrowful, and to say unto him one by one, is it I? And another said, is it I? And he answered and said unto them, it is the one of the 12 that dippeth with me in the dish. The Son of Man indeed goeth, as it is written of him. But woe to him, that man by whom the Son of Man is betrayed. Good were it for that man if he had never been born. And as they did eat, Jesus took bread, and blessed it, and brake it, and gave to them, and said, take, eat, this is my body. And he took the cup, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, and they all drank of it. And he said unto them, this is my blood of the New Testament, which is shed for many. Verily I say unto you, I will drink no more of the fruit of the vine until that day that I drink it new in the kingdom of God. And when they had sung a hymn, they went out into the Mount of Olives.
Amen.
Last Lord's Day, Pastor Fisher opened the topic dealing with understanding the betrayal of Messiah by one whom he had treated as a dear friend throughout his 3.5-year ministry. This serious lack of loyalty was amplified by the season which was supposed to be the most holy to the Jews, known for generations as the Passover, the days of unleavened bread. This week, our teacher will further deal with how God continues to reveal his let us find out from the scriptures what the Spirit of God has for us on this topic as we open our Bibles and take a few notes and listen today as we return to the ongoing study through the Gospel of Mark as our teacher, Pastor Fisher, shares in a teaching where he calls from Savior to Savior.
Amen. We give the Lord praise. It is a blessing to be here in the house of the Lord once again. We want to say a word of welcome to our guests who are here today. Thank God for you being here. And it is a blessing to have guests in the house. Amen. Having said that, we're going to move right into our study. As you know, as you read there in the introduction, we've been working our way through the entire Gospel of St. Mark, and we have now come to this 14th chapter, and we are endeavoring to move a little bit further in the text. And so we are looking now at the time that is known as the time of Passover, as he mentioned here, which is this is what we would like to call and have you make note that this is the last Passover, or the Last Supper, as it is called. In the Judaism, the feast is known as the Seder. They call it the Jewish Seder, which is another word or name or title for the celebration of God's deliverance of bringing the Jews forth out of the land of Egypt and bringing them through the Red Sea on dry land. They celebrated the Passover before they actually departed the land of Egypt. God told them to kill the Passover. And so this was a celebration being done by Jesus and his disciples. And of course, what it came to be known as in Christendom is the Last Supper, they call it. Last week we saw where Jesus predicted and told them how they could go into the city and they would find a man carrying a pitcher of water, follow him wherever he goes. And when he goes in that house, go in and ask the man of that house, "Where shall I prepare the Passover for the master and for his disciples?" And they went and found everything exactly as Jesus said it would be. And he showed them a large upper room, and he told them there to make ready the Passover. So now this week we're moving in on the fact that the disciples are now in the presence of that Seder, as we would call it, or that Last Supper. They're now sitting down at the table this evening to eat with the Lord Jesus Christ, what we call the Last Passover, the Last Supper. The reason it is the last is from this time forward, in just a few days after this Passover, Jesus is going to the cross to be crucified for the sins of the world. And so he himself becomes the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. There's no longer any need for any more Passover of this sort, where it has been symbolized by the slaying of a lamb, a one-year-old male lamb, throughout all these generations in Judaism. And now it's no longer going to be necessary. And we're going to see that as we look through this lesson. Some things that I want you to get out of this lesson today that will be a blessing to you in your understanding are some things that I think are very powerful for you to know. These are things that everyone who is a Christian should know, because God has given very clear prophecy in the Old Testament about many things with which he gave in order to validate the authenticity of Jesus Christ as the Messiah, and of the times and the actions of others such as Judas and Satan. These things were all written in the Word and the prophecy in the Old Testament, and even what the 12 would do, that was all written down in prophecy. We can find all that in the Old Testament, that these things that they're doing are the fulfillment of prophecy that God had already spoken ahead of time. And even these things that were fleshed out by Jesus Christ, these were things that he performed that were written of the Messiah that would be done and must be necessary in order for him to really, truly, honestly be the Messiah, the Savior of the world. And so God had, of course, as we mentioned last week, he had predicted that there was a role that evil would play in the course of the truth. That was our message from last week. Even the evil thing that Judas planned to do, he was doing it himself because of his own personal iniquity. It was not that God made him do it. He chose to do these things, but God predicted that he would be one of the 12, that he would be his old familiar friend who would raise his heel against Messiah. And so we see that these things are true. And so God had written these things down. That's one of the most amazing things about New Testament prophecy, is that we can look and see that it is the fulfillment of what God said. God promised in the book of Isaiah, chapter 46 and verse 9, he says, remember the former things of old, for I am God and there is none else. He says, I am God and there is none like me, declaring the end from the beginning, from ancient times, the things that are not yet done, God says, saying, my counsel shall stand and I will do all my pleasure. God says, I'm going to fulfill everything I desire. And I've already told you the end from the beginning. He said back in Isaiah 46, written about 500 years before Jesus was born. And so now what we see here is the unfolding of God's perfect will taking place, even though Satan is acting on his own accord. It said in Luke, last week we looked at Luke 22, where it said Satan entered into Judas and caused him to go and turn Jesus in. Well, you know what? Judas opened his heart, we said, to receive that entering of Satan. That's one of the scariest verses in the whole Bible, is the fact that Satan actually came in into Judas himself in order to get the work done to make sure that Jesus Christ would be crucified. He didn't know. He said last week he was ignorant of the fact that when he did this, it would take away his own power. He didn't even know that, but he was acting on his own free will. Judas was acting on his free will. He was an open vessel to receive possession by Satan. And Satan came right into him and executed this thing in complete ignorance, not knowing it would take away his power when he had done this. And so we said the only one that's awesome like that is God. God already knew all these things were going to happen. And so he wrote it down in the scriptures. And if any people had really had a spiritual mind, they would have understood that these things were supposed to be so. And so God here is showing us his omniscience and the fact that he could predict accurately all these things about Messiah, even about Satan and about Judas and all those things. And at the same time, he did not cause them to come to pass. He merely stated in his word that they would be so. And so at this last supper here, as we call it, it's called by the Jews of our time the Seder, the Passover Seder. And I think that's a term you should know. If you ever want to witness to a Jew, you need to understand their terminology so that you can tell them about Christ. And many people in the church today, I think, are unaware of some of the terms that the Jews use. But the Seder is the term that they use. They still have a sacred meal, even today, that they call a Seder. They do not slay a lamb. They may go and buy kosher lamb from the deli or something and bring it home and serve it, or things of that sort. But very few Jews actually take a lamb from their flock and slay it as they did back in those days, in the days of the Exodus. So we see it here cataloged for us in Exodus 12, which has just been read for you. But take a look here, Exodus 12 and 11. Moses says to the children of Israel, thus shall you eat it, speaking of the Passover, and with your loins girded, and your shoes on your feet, and your staff in your hand, you shall eat it in haste. It is the Lord's Passover. He gave them instructions. Be dressed and ready, because once you eat this, you're going to move out, because the hand of the Lord is going to be with you. He's going to stretch forth a mighty hand and an outstretched arm, and he's going to bear you up and carry you through the Red Sea on dry land. But you eat this Passover in a rush and in a haste. It was something that they had to do with their feet, shoes on their feet, staff in their hand. In other words, you're ready to move out. You shall eat it in haste. It is the Lord's Passover. He tells you why. In verse 12, in the Exodus 12, for I will pass through the land of Egypt this night and will smite all the firstborn in the land of Egypt, both man and beast. And against all the gods of Egypt, I will execute judgment. I am the Lord. God says, I'm going to move through. Now, keep in mind, this is prophecy for the children of Israel who are in bondage in Egypt. They don't know how this is going to turn out. It's not looking too good. The Pharaoh has encroached with his army. He's right on the footsteps and the thresholds of their communities, ready to come in and wipe them out. He has it in his heart to destroy them, although his people have given them money to leave. And the thought has now come to the Pharaoh's mind, I'd rather kill them and get rid of them and keep the money and don't let them go away with the gold that they have all collected. See, and so the Pharaoh's moving in. The situation is looking pretty bad, but God gives prophecy through Moses to let the children of Israel know that I am the Lord. You do this. You have this feast, this celebration, right in the presence of your enemies. And what David eventually said that also, that the Lord prepares for me a table in the presence of mine enemies, and my cup runneth over. God has a feast going on right when your enemies are trying to attack you and to bring you down. Have you noticed that? You know what? You can be sitting there and have all kind of trouble. The Lord says, rest in me. Don't get uptight. I am the Lord. I'm in charge here. See, you know, you and I can take away something on that here today. Because we know when trouble comes in on every side and it looks like we're not going to make it, we can rest in the Lord. See, the Lord is there. He says, I am there to bear you up and to take care of everything that you need. So don't fret. He says, fret not thyself because of evildoers. Neither be ye envious of the workers of iniquity, for they shall soon be cut off. God says, the people who are working against my people will soon be cut off. You don't have to worry. Don't fret yourself because of evildoers. And don't be envious of the workers of iniquity. Now notice what God says here, verse 13, Exodus 12 and 13. And the blood shall be for to you for a token upon the houses where you are, and I will see the blood, and I will pass over you, and the plague shall not be upon you to destroy you. See that? When I smite the land of Egypt, I'm going to come down on all those who are the enemies of the Lord. He says, but because you acknowledge the blood of the Lamb, I will pass over you. You see that? That's the whole idea of the Passover. And so God says, don't you worry. You just do what I told you. Put the blood up on your door, on the lintel and on the post. And when I strike Egypt with the judgment of the death of the firstborn, it'll pass right over you. You don't have to worry about it. I'm going to protect you. You're covered. You're under the blood. See that? Very powerful scripture here in the book of Exodus, chapter 12. Verse 14 says, and this shall be unto you for a memorial. In other words, God says, I don't ever want you to forget this, what I did for you, for your fathers. And you shall keep it a feast to the Lord throughout your generations, and you shall keep it a feast by an ordinance forever. See that? In other words, do this all the way up till I tell you, you don't have to do it anymore. Forever, basically. 7 days shall you eat unleavened bread. Even the first day you shall put away leaven out of your houses. For whosoever eateth leavened bread from the first day until the seventh, that soul shall be cut off from Israel. See, in other words, if you don't believe God and obey God, then your soul will be cut off from the land of Israel. And in the first day, he says, there shall be an holy convocation, and in the second day there shall be an holy convocation, and no manner of work shall be done in them save that which every man must eat. That only may you be doing. In other words, all you can do is prepare this feast. That's the only work I want you to do. During those 7 days. That's why he says it's a holy convocation. In other words, this is a special set apart time that God wants you to worship him, feast in him, enjoy him, and nothing else. Don't have anything else going on. Put God in your life, sanctify him in your life for 7 full days up until the time that you kill this Passover. And so we see that these feasts of unleavened bread in the days of the Passover were still being maintained even by the apostles, the 12, at the time Jesus came upon the earth. Now notice what he says here as we move on through Exodus. He says, and ye shall observe the feast of unleavened bread, for in the selfsame day have I brought your armies out of the land of Egypt. Therefore ye shall observe this day in your generations by an ordinance forever. Because I marched you right out of your enemy's camp, through the Red Sea on dry land with a mighty hand and an outstretched arm, and brought you all out into safety, into the wilderness. You know, and so God says, I don't ever want you to forget or this feast. He says, 7 days. In the first month, on the 14th day, verse 18, he says, that evening you shall eat unleavened bread until the 120th day of the month at evening. In other words, you do that 7 days from the 14th to the 20th, it says here. 7 days shall there be no leaven found in your houses. Whosoever shall eat it, eat that which is leavened, even that soul shall be cut off from the congregation of Israel, whether he be a stranger or born in the land. Doesn't make any difference if you're a Jew or a Gentile. Ye shall eat nothing leavened in all your habitations. Shall ye eat unleavened bread? And then Moses called for all the elders of Israel and said unto them, draw out and take you a lamb, see that, according to your families, and kill the Passover. Now, I want you to see the thing that was really interesting to me as I studied for this lesson today is that the Passover was to be killed. Understand that. The Jews understood that the Passover would be killed. It would be put to death, and it was a lamb that was dying, and the blood of the lamb was what was protecting them, and that's the thing I wanted to highlight for you today. It says it over and over in the Old Testament. Here in Exodus 12, 21, kill the Passover. 2 Chronicles 30, 15, and they killed the Passover on the 14th day of the second month, and the priests and the Levites were ashamed and sanctified themselves and brought in burnt offerings into the house of the Lord. 2 Chronicles 35 and 1, moreover, Josiah kept the Passover unto the Lord in Jerusalem, and they killed the Passover
on the 14th day of the month, 2 Chronicles 35:6. So kill the Passover and sanctify yourselves, he says. 2 Chronicles 35:11, and they killed the Passover, and the priests sprinkled the blood from their hands, and the Levites flayed them. Ezra 6:20, for the priests and the Levites were purified together. All of them were pure. They killed the Passover for all the children of Israel, and for their brethren, the priests, and for themselves. Mark 14, that we have just read in our text today, in the text today, it says, in the first day of unleavened bread, when they killed the Passover, his disciples said unto him, where wilt thou that we go and prepare that thou mayest eat the Passover? That was from our last week's lesson. And so we see the Passover is a lamb who must be killed. His blood must be shed. The Jews knew this. This was no secret to anyone in Judaism. And so here it is now, they assemble for this, what we call the last Seder. And this time, a very special thing has happened in the house of Israel. Not only is it the time of the celebration of the Passover when the lamb was slain, but now Jesus, in the midst of this last Seder, which we call the Last Supper, he transfers the meaning of that Seder to himself and lets people know right at that point that he himself is the lamb who must be killed. And he takes upon his own self the very thing that the Seder meant. It was, the Seder was the symbol of what the reality was about to take place when Jesus himself would be crucified in just a couple of days. So during that last Seder, also known as the Lord's Supper or the Last Supper, Jesus transferred the meaning of the sacred celebration of killing the Passover to himself, taking Seder events from symbol to reality. See, because those events of the Seder were the commemoration of all the generations of God's deliverance of the children of Israel out of the land of Egypt. See, and now we have the actual Son of God, Messiah himself, who has come, and he says these things that we're going to take a look at here now as we look at Mark chapter 14. But I wanted you to have that background in Exodus so that this would make a lot of sense to you as we think about this incredible evening now, where it says in Mark 14, verse 17, and in the evening he cometh with the 12. Here they come now to the prepared place that has already been prepared to eat the Seder. And as they sat and did eat, Jesus said, verily I say unto you, one of you which eateth with me shall betray me. And they began to be sorrowful. They were wondering now, you know, this is what got me. Everybody was sorrowful. The only one you don't hear about is Judas himself. He's probably squirming in his seat, but everybody else was squirming in their seat too when Jesus made the announcement that one of you will betray me. And he said, and I say unto him, one by one, is it me? Is it me? They all wanted to know. Is it I? Am I the one? You know what? Every one of us has reason in our heart to think that we might be the one who betrays God because our lives are not necessarily perfectly clean. You know? And the fact is, we all feel like we could be the one, just like all of them did who sat there. And they all began to ask, is it I? Is it I? And he answered and said unto them, it is one of the 12 that dippeth with me in the dish. Now, we'll read in another gospel. We won't talk about it in this study in Mark, but there, Judas actually reached in to dip into the bowl with Jesus, and was identified by the fact that Jesus dipped the sop and Judas reached into the bowl also. And so Jesus dipped the sop and handed it to Judas. And then he told him, friend, what you do quickly. And Judas got up and left and departed and went out to betray him because Jesus already knew who it was who would betray him, John tells us. And so all the 12, though, the thing I want you to see is other disciples were worried, wondering, is it me? You know, we all feel like that. Is it me who betrays God, who doesn't do everything right? It's a good feeling to feel that way only because it causes us to put ourselves in check when we're not living our lives in a righteous manner. And so we want to be aware that sometimes we feel that way, but yet God is there. He sent his Son to cleanse us from our sin. Now notice in verse 21, the Son of Man indeed goeth, Jesus said, as it is written of him, but woe to that man by whom the Son of Man is betrayed. Good word for that man, if he had never been born, he said, it would be good if he had never even been born. And as they did eat, Jesus took bread, and he blessed it and broke it and gave to them and said, take and eat, this is my body. And he took the cup. When he had given thanks, he gave it to them, and they all drank it. And he said unto them, this is my blood of the New Testament, which is shed for many. Verily I say unto you, I will drink no more of the fruit of the vine until that day that I drink it anew in the kingdom of God, he says. And when they had sang him, they went out into the Mount of Olives. And so what happens here is that during this last Seder, also known, as we said, as the Lord's Supper or the Last Supper, Jesus transferred the meaning of the sacred celebration of killing the Passover to himself, taking the Seder events from symbol to reality. He let them know that this is me, this is my blood. He began to tell them, the bread is to represent my body, which is broken for you, and the blood that was shed for the sins of many. And so even though Judas had it in his heart, the notion to betray Jesus, and the other disciples knew within themselves that they were, that they had reason also, that each one of them might also have felt guilty, Jesus never lost his focus on loving them regardless of their faults, but he kept his focus on the Father's will. And that was that he would taste death for every man, that he would give his life as the only ransom that was acceptable to God and become their Savior. So they went from this Savior to the Savior himself. And there was a transfer right there that was done on the spot at this Last Supper. So this is a glorious time, and you and I have much to be thankful for, because we must realize that without the shedding of blood, as the Bible says, there's no remission of sin. God had been painting that picture and symbol all those generations up until 2007 years ago when Jesus Christ was born. See, and from that time until now, the gospel has been proclaimed that if you come in under the blood, that's the only way that you can be saved. Jesus said, I am the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world, and that without me you can do nothing. And so we need to believe and trust in him. You know what? The Seders that are done today are just as pagan as any other pagan practice that is done, because they have no meaning anymore, any longer. The meaning of the Seder was transferred to Messiah himself, who already came and died for the sins of all who trust in him. He said, without me you can do nothing. See, and so the whole idea, now the beauty of the backside of this is that not only did God allow his son to suffer and bleed and die for our sins, but he also raised him from the dead. That's also the fulfillment of additional prophecy that is found in the scriptures. We'll see some of that as we continue through the book of Mark. But I wanted you to see the transition from Seder, which was the symbol of what God was going to do, that he had begun to do all the way back in the book of Genesis, actually. And even in the book of Exodus, we see symbols in the book of Genesis also, where God was preparing people for the coming of Messiah, all the way back in Genesis chapter 3, and we've talked about that in previous lessons. So I want you to understand that and trust in God and believe that Jesus Christ is the Savior. That is the manner by which we are saved, is as many as believe in him shall not be put to shame. The Bible says it is. So if we confess him with our mouth that he is Lord and believe in our hearts that God has raised him from the dead, we shall be saved. And so having said that, we're going to leave that at this point for our teaching today. We will pick that up on next week as we see things heat up a little bit further as we get a little deeper into the 14th chapter in the Gospel of St. Mark. So we're going to take time at this moment just in case there are any questions or comments that you have on this particular study, and otherwise we will be making preparation to come to the Lord's table ourselves. Amen.